How humorous, and yet how humbling. How often does it turn into that? We've been working through a series on prayer, and I want to let you know the 2012 series was planned out or started planning back in July and August of 2011. The theme for this year, I Can Be the Church, coming out of the book of Acts, was something that I thought God brought to me in 2011. But when I went to Joby and said, "Hey, Joby, I got the theme for 2012. It's I Can Be the Church from the book of Acts." He said, "I know, you told me that last year." So I guess God brought that idea to me in 2010. So things were kind of well organized. I brought that to the preaching team, and we started working on the series and the whole year. And we had things pretty much laid out by November of 2011. But then, midway through November, I felt like God asked me, "Have you considered a series on prayer?" And I thought, no. That one kind of slipped my mind, but it is kind of part of being the church, isn't it? It's kind of a major part of the first church, of what it takes to be the church. And so I thought, I guess we'll need to do some rearranging. And I couldn't see God's head, but I got this feeling like he did one of those silent head nods, just the single one that says, "Yep." So before I got a chance to get to the schedule and rearrange things and put in a series on prayer, a couple days later, I got an email. And on our website, if you go to a certain page on our website, it looks like this. You can go there and you can suggest anonymously a single sermon or a sermon series. And depending on what buttons you click, I get a certain email that reads a certain way with whatever you put after that initial sentence. And so 3 days after God had laid this on my heart about doing a series on prayer this year, where it wasn't in the plan at that time, this email came in from the website, and it said, suggestion for a sermon series on the topic of how to pray. Yes. So I thought, I got it, I'm listening, I hear you. And I went straight to the schedule, and I looked it over, and it was like God knew that this month was going to be about prayer, because the Acts message was from Acts chapter 4 already. The message that Joby shared, that section was already planned, and it just fit perfect into a prayer series. And so that's how things started. That's how things happened. We started off the month with our Acts series. Those of you who are new with us, to explain a little bit of what we're doing this year, is we're going through the whole book of Acts in 12 messages. And so the first Sunday of every month is an Acts message. From that message in Acts, then we're branching off of that on the subject that is brought up by that Acts message, and kind of blowing it up, expounding it, unpacking it. And this month is prayer, next month is about money, last month was about being a hero. So, and every one of those are coming right off the Acts messages. So Joby started off at the beginning of the month by sharing about how prayer was the foundation of the boldness of the church. The boldness that the church experienced in the book of Acts was the result of prayer. They prayed boldly. They prayed for boldness. And the ripples are still being felt from that spiritual tremor 2,000 years ago when they prayed and the building shook. The next week, as we entered into our actual prayer series, we talked about the attitude that we should take towards prayer. We need to remember who we are and who we're talking to. We use the model prayer, that's the Lord's Prayer, to guide our study. And that Sunday, we came away with some serious tools on how to adjust our attitude towards prayer. And I just want to review those. I want to kind of package everything together today. We learned from that Sunday that we need to check our relationship status, because that prayer starts off "Our Father," which is very intimate, but then it says "Hallowed be thy name," which is very reverent. And both of those are sides of the relationship that we have with God that we need to balance. We need to understand it is an intimate relationship with our Father, but he's also God. He's also holy. And his name is hallowed. A holy and reverent approach, or reverent approach rather, before a holy God. We need to check our personal position, and that is just simply submitting to God's will. Where do I stand with God? I need to submit to his will. We need to check the content of our prayers. Is it a want or a need? And that Sunday we talked about wants are fine. You can ask for wants all day long. There's nothing wrong with it. The Bible encourages you to ask for things that you want. But we need to understand, to keep our attitude in check, the difference between a want and a need. If we pray for a want and we don't get it, we have no reason to be bent out of shape. It was a want. It helps us to shape our attitude. And then the last question was a really tough question. All of these are tough questions, but this one was kind of like the icing on the cake was we need to check our sin status. And what I mean by that is we need to look and see if I'm currently in a reconciled or a rebellious state. We need to seek God's forgiveness. We need to humble ourselves before Him. And if we go before Him as a rebel, that's no kind of attitude to go before God in prayer. We need to bow down humbly. And those are tough questions to ask, but they are there to help us reflect and adjust our attitude. And not only will we experience improved prayer life, but we will be able to better recognize answered prayers in our life when we have that attitude. So it's kind of on both ends of prayer where that attitude takes place. Week two, we talked about last week about how God has enabled us to experience powerful and effective prayer life. We're told in James that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. A righteous person, to expand that out. And God has enabled us to be this righteous person. And it just takes faith. We unpacked last week this statement, and the statement was, righteousness is only made possible by faithfulness. Was it not on the board for you? Open book test and you still missed it? I'm ashamed. Righteousness is only made possible by
faithfulness.
Yes. Our faith in Jesus enables us to pray, because when we accept Him by faith, He becomes our righteousness. So we then get to be a righteous person praying. The Holy Spirit also enables us to pray. When we receive the Holy Spirit, which was by faith as we accepted Jesus into our life, the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of us. And he does this churchy word. He sanctifies us. And that happens in two ways. One, it happens immediately, which means that He sanctifies you by setting you aside, making you holy. The other way He sanctifies us is a continuous work. So He's constantly working with us, assisting us, helping us to better imitate God's holiness. And so we see the efforts of Jesus, we see the efforts of the Holy Spirit that help to empower our prayer life so that our prayer life can be what it should be. So the early church prayed boldly. They prayed for boldness, and a spiritual tremor shook the earth. We have reflected on our personal attitude towards prayer, and we have understood that God has enabled us to experience the full power of this powerful activity called prayer. Which brings us to today, which is that prayer, it's a two-way street. If you'll flip your bulletins over, you're going to notice something this morning. You're first going to notice there are a lot of words and a lot of scripture, which is ironic because this Sunday I'm not actually reading any scripture. It's all there for you, so you guys can do your own stuff there. No blanks today. Yay! For some of you who don't like filling out the blanks. What I wanted to do this morning was a couple things. The first thing involves the bulletin. I want to just simply give you a general look at what the New Testament says about prayer. We've gotten some, our first two messages were just heavy messages. Attitude in prayer, and really dug into some really tough self-reflection questions. Last week, we talked about the power and how Jesus has enabled us and the Holy Spirit has enabled us. And we really don't have any excuse not to experience the power and effectiveness of prayer. Really another strong, thick subject. This morning, I want to come back up to the surface and just look at the general topic of prayer across the New Testament. Now, this in front of you is not an exhaustive list, but it's pretty close. About all the different places and all the different things that the New Testament teaches about prayer. First of all, prayer is a key practice and distinguishing element in the first century church. We see it throughout the book of Acts. If that's not enough references for you, then, I guess I can't do anything more to prove it than that. All those Acts references, Romans, Jude talks about it. Specifically, a couple places, it's before major decisions. Jesus, a separate topic, Jesus often got alone to pray, or He brought a small group along with Him to pray. He did that often, and we see this exemplified in the prayer in the garden before His arrest. It represented the guidance and strength that prayer can bring us, that prayer can find us in times of trouble. And Jesus exemplified that idea of getting away with a small group, praying, getting strength. Another thing about prayer is that prayer is intimate and humble. It's not for show. On the flip side of that, which can be confusing, prayer is also a part of our corporate worship. So some people say, well, you're not supposed to pray publicly because Jesus says go in a closet, close the door, and pray privately. Well, He did say that. But we're also told that prayer is a part of corporate worship. And Jesus supports this also, because if you remember when Jesus chased the people out of the temple, what did he say? My Father's house is going to be a house of prayer. Did he say it's a closet of prayer? It's the place where they worshiped. So Jesus was sharing and supporting both ways that prayer can be used, in a private method and also in a very public method. And there are places in the Bible that exemplify where that's been used. And prayer should promote unity. I love this passage. I encourage you, maybe you can circle it and go visit it later. 1 Timothy 2:8. And Paul's saying, I just wish that men would just lift up holy hands and pray, and they'd quit all their arguing and their grumbling. Can I get an amen? Amen. Prayer should bring unity in the church. We're going to be lifting up holy hands, getting centered, getting focused on what's the main thing, and stop all the arguing and grumbling. Next one is that prayers are considered an offering to God. I love this picture. In Revelation, you'll see these couple passages in Revelation and the one there in Acts, that our prayers are like incense, an incense offering going up to God. I love that picture. And you get the smell, and we're told that God collects our prayers, the prayers of the saints, in this bowl of incense, this golden bowl of incense. And it's just a wonderful picture. And the idea that my prayers are valued by God, your prayers are valued by God, they're considered an offering to him. Jesus prayed for others while he was here on earth, and the church continued that pattern. We see throughout the Bible that the church prayed for others. Another use for prayer is that prayer can be used to repent. Prayer can also be used for healing. Sometimes those are two in the same. Spiritual healing requires repentance. Sometimes it's physical healing. Jesus healed a boy with an evil spirit, kind of physical and spiritual put together. And when he did, he said, this kind can come out only by prayer. Jesus exemplifying the power of prayer, saying, the only way this guy is going to come out is through prayer. There's no other way. That's powerful. That's powerful, and we need to connect with that. The power of prayer, the power to be used for healing, the power for repentance. We need to pray for our enemies. The New Testament teaches that. We should pray about everything and not be worried about anything, not be stressed about it. We should be persistent in our prayers. We should pray continually. We should be devoted to prayer. All New Testament concepts. The prayer of a righteous, the prayer of the righteous are heard. Reiterating that from last week. I want you to use your imagination with me. I want you to package all the things that we've been talking about in this series. Okay? Because today I really want to put it in one nice bundle. So we talked about the attitude of prayer and how we need to remember who we're talking to. And when we get that right, it'll empower our prayer life. It'll empower our ability to recognize prayer. So let's take that and put it in the container. You got it? Right here, first week, in the container. Second week, we talked about the power of prayer that's available to all of us because God has enabled us through his Son Jesus and through his Holy Spirit. So there's power in prayer, and God has allowed us to be able to have that power through faithfulness. So we put that and we stick that in the container. And then today, just real fast, we just took a brief overview of all the New Testament and the different things that prayer is used for, the different ways prayer is used, the different places that prayer is integrated into our life as church, as the church. And we put that here in this container also. Prayer is powerful. It is meant to be a church activity. God has made it possible for us to pray to him. And we gather all that up and we funnel all that down, the power, the attitude, the fact that God enabled it, the fact that God expects it. I told you in the beginning of this series that I can handle describing the mechanics of prayer. I'm comfortable with teaching a theological message from the Bible on prayer. And I think we've covered those amply. As we close this series, I've just got two things that I feel like God has laid on my heart. This series has been a very spiritually led series, being brought about unexpectedly in November, after I felt like God had planned out the whole year already, he came back and said, hey, you're missing something. I want this in there. And here it is. And so the whole series has been very, very, very spirit-led. And I really feel like these are a couple things that God's led on my heart through my experience with prayer that I want to share with you. And if I could be so bold as saying, I believe this is God asking me to share this on his behalf. Two things. First thing is that when you pray, be real with God. It's consistent throughout the Bible that God wants a relationship with us. That's why he sent his son Jesus. That's why his Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. That's why we have this thing called prayer, so we can be in a conversation with God. He wants a relationship with you. God values authenticity. So be real, because authenticity brings the realistic element of a relationship instead of being fake. So be real in your prayers. Use the same language that you would use at work and around the house. Just be real with him. And that comment kind of goes two different ways. The first way is that don't talk to God in King James. Just because you use these and thous, he's not going to understand you better. You're not, you know, when we went to Haiti, as soon as we got around Haitians, Terry West, hey, my brother, what's happening? Da, da, da. You know, he starts getting this like really fake Haitian accent. And I'm like, they're not going to understand English with a Haitian accent any better than they would English with an English accent. Oh, they did. Well, let him continue believing that. But that's what we do with God. We kind of put on this prayer language, and I'm not cracking on anybody or ripping on anybody. I'm just stating what I see and what I've experienced in my life. And sometimes you'll see someone, they'll just talk to you like this, and they'll go to prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you. And that's not an exaggeration. And so on behalf of God, I'm asking, just be real with him. He knows the words you use. Be respectful, but be real. The second side of that is that if the language you use around the house or at work is not language that you can use when you talk to God, then maybe you need to change the language you use at work and around the house. Just saying. I mean, it's not like when you bow your head, God picks up the phone. Okay, there he is. He's on the line now. I got him. It's not like God unmutes you when you start to pray. He's there all the time. He's all present. And if you're a Christian, he lives inside of you. He goes everywhere. He hears you talking. He hears the language you use with everyone else in your life. If your prayer language is different than your everyday language, then who are you being fake with? You know, if I could make myself invisible, first of all, that'd be awesome. I wouldn't have to match clothes. I wouldn't have to wear clothes. All right, don't want to go there. I'd be able to get into movies for free, you know, and just kind of make sure I sit in a seat where no one else is. And I'd be able to, you know, do all sorts of things. I'd be able to freak Joby out, be able to turn invisible and just kind of move something across his office and just watch his eyes. He pulls glasses off and rub. But if I can make myself invisible and follow my wife around, it'd be a little creepy. But just for the sake of the illustration, let's say I followed my wife around one day, and in doing this, I found out that she used words and inflections and speech patterns with everyone else that she encountered that were different, very different from the words, inflections, and speech patterns she used when she talked with me. I would wonder, which person is the real person? The wife that talks to me at home, or how she talks to everybody else? I'm just saying, that's how I would take it. Be real with God. He knows you. He watches you live. Second thing I'd like to share with you is that I feel like God's laid on my heart that we need to do a better job listening to him. We're like that video at the beginning of the message. We have 10 minutes to talk. That's how we view it. I'm going to spend 10 minutes in prayer, and I'm just going to talk the whole time. I'm going to ask God for all these things. I'm bringing these prayers and requests because that's what he's asked for. I'm going to tell him all about my day. And yes, he cares about you, no doubt. But I think we do a very poor job of listening to him, and that's a part of prayer. Prayer is a conversation with God, broken down to its simplest form. It's just a conversation with God. And a conversation goes two ways. So pause. Listen. A lot of us complain because we don't have prayers that are answered, and some of the reason is we haven't listened. We've asked for a certain direction or to go a certain way, and we don't listen for God to give us the wisdom on what direction to go or where to head or what to do. Meditate on a piece of scripture from God's word. Don't just read it. Read it and then just sit and meditate on it. And let it sink in. Let God speak to you through his word. Or just be still and know that God is God. Just sit down and be still. And just a reverent awe of who God is. And just, if he chooses to talk, then you're ready to listen. If he doesn't, then you're just being in awe of who he is. Just listen to him. This brings us to our challenges this month. Because our first challenge this month is based around these couple of ideas. And if you're new, I want to kind of explain these challenges to you a little bit. We're doing a thing called the Acts Challenge. And it's a little bit of a play on words. Acts, because we're doing the whole book of Acts this year. So it's the Acts Challenge, connected to that series. But it's also Acts, as in movements, as in motions, as in work of those who are saved. Let me be clear, this is not a board representing works that earn salvation. We understand here that that is not the way it happens. We are saved by faith. It's by grace. It's by Jesus Christ. He's the only way that we're saved. But the saved should work. And the church has divorced those two things because we want to protect this whole idea of saved by works. And here, we're going to correctly marry this year works and salvation. Not that we're saved by works, but the saved work. Am I very clear? Okay, I don't want to just be clear. I want to be crystal clear on that. Because it is. It's a little risky. It's a little odd. It's like, wow, you got a church that's boasting about all these things they're doing. No, we're not boasting about the church because there's no names on there. We're boasting about God using people in the church. And that's something to boast about. That's boasting in the Lord. And that's inspired by the book of Acts. I'll explain that a little bit later. So let me walk you through the prayer challenges this month. If you pull out the blue sheet, it looks like this. And at the end of every month, what you'll do is you'll get a Acts challenge sheet. They're available out there at the information center. And we've got yellow ones for last month. They're the Heroes Challenges. They're still active. Once a challenge is presented to you, you can do it anytime throughout the year. I suggest trying to get it done that month because you're going to keep getting new challenges every month. And I want to keep the church moving. I want to keep us doing stuff. So, but if you haven't done the Heroes Challenges yet, grab them, pick them up. And go for it, because those are some tough challenges. This month, I kind of gave you a little bit of a breather, a little bit of a break. Started you off hard, kind of doing some things that are a little easier to do, but still very valuable to our spiritual life. So today's challenges, P1, I'll explain why we have the code there for it in a minute too. P1 is Sweet Hour of Prayer. Everybody got your blue sheets out? All right. Sweet Hour of Prayer, and that challenge is to take one whole hour and go off somewhere and be alone with God. This is modeling after Jesus, who got alone to pray with God. And during this hour of prayer, be real with God. Use some of the things that I've been sharing this morning. Be real with God. Don't use a prayer language. Be careful of that prayer language. And in that time, spend time listening to him. Maybe pray for 5 minutes and sit back and listen for 5 minutes. Pray for 10 minutes. Sit back and listen for 10 minutes. Pray for 10. Listen for 50. Whatever you choose to do, but just that 1 hour of prayer, set it aside for God and see what happens. P2 is drop and give him 10. And that challenge is to spend 10 minutes at the same time of the day, every day for 7 days straight, praying for other people. Not for yourself, not praying for anything about you. It's all about other people. And you can do it a number of different ways. You can pray for one person 7 times. You can pray for 7 different people, one each day. You can pray for multiple people each day, the same group. Or you can pray for different groups of multiple people. You get the point? Okay. And this exercise is to kind of get you to see what it's like to do some sort of a structured prayer. That's why it's the same time every day. Someone like me, I know it would be very hard to believe, but I pray in a very random fashion. Just, you know, wherever I am, when it crosses my mind, I'm lifting it up. You know, I'm not this every morning at, you know, 7 a.m. I'm praying. But someone like me, it's kind of nice to experience something different. So if you're like me, if you're not like me and you are a structured person, then this would be an easy one to do. Say, oh, I can do that. I can do that. Let's lift some people up in prayer. And you could use a prayer list if you're at a loss. That's a great resource to go to. And P3 is thankfulness. And this challenge is very simple. It's just to thank God for something at 3 different times, 3 separate times. So it's 3 different things, 3 separate times. 5 days in a row. So 15 different things. I'm sure we have 15 different things that we can thank God for. The purpose of that is to get our thankfulness in our head. Because when you're doing it 3 different times through the day, maybe it's at your 3 meals, or maybe when you wake up, and sometime in the middle of the day, and sometime at the end of the day, and you're just thanking God for something. Just real quick, God, thank you for such and such. So that we start getting more conscious about how awesome God is, and how great he is, and how much he does work in our life. So thankfulness, that's P3. So the process and how you use this is step one, you choose a challenge and you complete it. Step two is you complete it. Step three is you report the completed act or challenge. And you do that one of two different ways. You can fill out the tear-off portion of the bulletin. And if you have done that already, then you can look at it next week. But there's a little section there, I completed such and such challenge. And what you do is you use the code. Like this week or this month is P1, P2, P3. Last month was H1 through H5 for the Heroes series. And it'll be so forth and so on throughout the year like that. So you either report that way or you can go on the website. And this is the page on the website where you'll go there and you can get there from the front page. It's actually two steps away from the front page of our website. And just put your name, your email, and the number. Your name is not going on the badges. We do want to keep record to make sure that it is a legitimate account of what's happening in our church. Because it would be really easy for, a kid. No offense, guys. I know you're much more mature than this. But it'd be easy for a kid to get on there and say, ha-ha, I'm going to have fun, and just start typing in all these different codes. And, and we don't want a false report. So once you report your name and your code, it's going to be recorded, but it's going to be private. So after that, it's all anonymous. And let me see here. I'm skipping all around where my notes are. So you got the online form. This board is our January board. It is going to be moved to one of the side walls. We're going to bring a brand new board up here next month that's going to be the board for the prayer challenges. And I want to fill it up. This board will still be able to accept badges, but it'll just be on the side wall. So if you're still working on the H's, I tried to do the smile one. I think it's H3. And I tried it 2 days in a row, and I just said, I'm just going to have to come back to this one. Because I got halfway through the day, and I realized, I forgot to keep Jesus as my joy, in my head, and I just stopped it. So I need to reboot that. But I'm going to continue to work on those and get my H's done and get my P's done and keep on working through that. So that'll still be available. Once you report, to explain kind of the badges, when you report a challenge, a badge will go up on the board with a different icon representing these different challenges. And that badge represents one person that completed that challenge. Your name is not on it. It just represents for the church to be able to see, hey, someone's doing something. Someone's blessing someone else. Someone is being used by God. And that's where the inspiration came from the book of Acts. Because when I read the book of Acts, that excites me. I think, and I just talked to someone this morning that they said that they did the H5 challenge where you read through the whole book of Acts in one sitting or in as few a sittings as you can, depending on your attention span. But if you can do it in one sitting, then do it. This lady did it, and she said, I'd read Acts before, but when I sat and I read it in one sitting, it was exciting. And I said, I know, isn't it? And it's just seeing that and seeing people do that. I had someone else come up to me, and they said, hey, can I offer to the church multiple badges if I've read through the book of Acts more than once since the challenge has been given? I was like, seriously? And they said, yeah, I read through the book of Acts in three different versions. And I was like, no, we're just going to do one badge, but wow. But that's the idea of these challenges, to get you started in a direction. And if it bites, keep doing it. If the 10 minutes of prayer every day is something that you're like, man, I like doing this, keep doing it. Don't just do it for 7 days. Report it. Let the badge get up there so the church can celebrate. But let that be an open door. Maybe the hour of prayer deal is something where you're like, man, I never took a whole hour and went away to be alone with God. It was awesome. That's great. Take that. Run with it. I want to see this open up new things for you and for the church. Some of these might spur brand new ministries in the church just because you tried a challenge and it was something different that you had never, ever done before if it weren't for something crazy like this. So how is this relevant? We've talked a little bit about this, and that is that it's exciting. The church is encouraged, and that's the purpose of this. When I read the book of Acts and I see God using people and people being used by God, that excites me. And when I read through the book of Acts last year getting prepared for this series, I thought, what can we do to imitate that? What can we do to and some people on the preaching team, we're all kind of talking about that. What can we do to kind of give some encouragement to the church? Because we think a lot of you guys. I personally think a lot of this church. But I'm not sure. And we've got a lot of younger Christians in our church now. Our church has kind of gone over a little bit of a turnover. And we've got a bunch of newer Christians in the church. And so this whole year, I want to dedicate towards lifting you up and saying, you can be the church. You can do it. I know you can. Let me help you. Let me give you tools from the Bible. and show you. I want you to see you can be the church. Because I believe this church can do some amazing things. You might think we're a small little church in Miami town, but Jesus started with 12 men and he turned the world upside down. And I believe he can, and I believe he will do it here. And I think this is the open door for it, as God has brought this here. So we do these challenges and we share them, and it's just like the book of Acts. When we see them up on the board, we see that people are being used by God, and they're free to be used by God, and God is using them to do things, to act, to move. The book of Acts was not called the book of faith. It wasn't called the book of, you know, people becoming Christians. It was called the book of Acts. The book of Christians working because they were saved by faith. Another thing this does is that in having some accountability to report it, you're more prone to actually do it. Because a lot of times we sit in here and we hear from God's word some challenging things. We think, wow, that's something good to think about. And we leave and we don't do anything about it. Having something where we've got a little bit of a list and something where we can check it off and come back and report, that gives a little more accountability. You're going to turn around and you're going to say, hey, I can do this Monday. And I've got a reminder. I need to do this Monday. This is going to bring unity to our efforts. I think one of the problems in the church at large is that people, Christians, feel alone in their service. We get the Elijah complex. If you remember when he was out there, he's like, oh, I'm the only God-fearing person. God's like, no, I've got hundreds of people. You're just the only one sitting out here in a cave all by yourself. Wonder why you feel alone. Get back in there and do some more work. But I think a lot of times we get that same complex. We feel all by ourselves. You know, and say I do P2, you know, and I'm praying, and I'm praying three times a day. Is that P2? P2 is, no, it's the 10 minutes. Drop and give me 10. Drop and give him 10. And so I'm praying 10 times or 10 minutes a day, 7 days a week for different people each day. And then I fill out the report. I go online and I fill it out and say, okay, I did P2, Dusty Delafield. And then the next week, I see 20 badges on the board that represent P2. And you know what that does for me? I get to look up there and I get to see 19 other people in my church that joined me that week in prayer. That's exciting. That brings unity. So this month, the challenges are a little more simple. Keep working on last month's challenges and start these prayer challenges. I think God will use these simple challenges to help you experience some different ways of praying, some different practices. And it will allow you to put into practice, to put into action all that you've learned this month. So instead of just sitting here and learning a bunch of facts about prayer, about the mechanics of prayer, the theology of prayer, I want to encourage you to do it and experience the power of prayer. Experience the attitude of prayer. Experience the practice of prayer. Reflect on all you've learned and use these challenges to help you commit to some times of prayer. That's why I wanted to bring it all together today in one package bundle, because I want to hand this to you with that little blue sheet and say, practice all this with that and make it happen, church. And in the process of expanding and strengthening and empowering your prayer life, when you turn that in and a badge goes up on the board, it's going to be a twofold blessing. It's going to be a blessing for you because you've stretched and learned and grown. And it's going to be a blessing for the church because the church will be able to celebrate one more person being used by God and allowing themselves to be used by God. So let's fill that next board up with badges as we continue our Acts challenges.